And now it's time for the Wildside News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
Right smack dab in the middle of summer. It's a classic with record-breaking heat, throngs at the beach, heading off to the parks and byways, and just sitting around, sweating it out. We're off to Yellowstone National Park to talk about those wolves, and we get the scoop on what Robert Redford's had on his mind, and more, when your voice of the earth continues, here on the Wild Side News.
Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
The heat's on, and it's summer, and it's hot. And everyone's trying to figure out what in the world, literally, is going on. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling a little stressed out these days. As the giant missiles and bombs shred the lives of hundreds of people in Lebanon, in Israel, in Iraq, not to mention Africa and Somalia. I'm thankful I'm suffering through the heat here rather than there. But I feel it, and I think about it. And I'm baffled and I'm frustrated, to put it mildly, that humans somehow continue to believe that bombing and strafing is how to achieve peace. In my mind, it just keeps adding to the global tally of unresolved revenge. But the folks with the giant guns and missiles make the decisions, and until that changes, there really is nothing that we can do. We can't even get an honest election, so I guess the only rational thing to do is talk about something else. So today, we bring you great news about something dear to my heart. The legendary Robert Redford just announced that the Sundance Channel is about to launch a prime-time weekly 3-hour block of programming dedicated to the earth and nature and sustainability. We'll be talking to the executive vice president of the Sundance Channel, Laura Michael Cheshin, right after the news. Then we head on up to another legend, Yellowstone National Park, where we talk with Doug Smith, who's bringing us an update on the Yellowstone Wolf Pack that suffered a tremendous setback this past winter. And then we take a serious look at how the millions of farm animals are faring as the summer heat continues. Things have changed on America's farms. That's all coming up. But first, the news. The Sundance Channel is primed to launch a prime-time lineup of programming in early 2007 focused on the Earth's ecology and concepts of green living that balance human needs with responsible environmental stewardship. We'll be talking about that right after the news. One of the world's most spectacular waterfalls, the Iguazu Falls, considered one of the world's natural wonders, has been reduced to an embarrassing trickle due to the worst drought Brazil has experienced in 20 years. The great Iguazu, that normally would easily dwarf our Niagara and compares with Victoria Falls of southern Brazil, is expected to be sending thrills through the hearts of tourists come September, when the rains are expected to refill the riverways, which feed the thundering tumble. If you could choose which birds should go extinct, which ones would you choose? With an estimated 12% of known species expected to disappear from the Earth by 2100, that actually translates to 1,250, which then becomes 125 every 10 years. That number is 100 times as great as any time in the past 65 million years. So, if you have a favorite that might find its way into the fossil forests of history, you might make an effort to work really hard to keep it for yourself. Yes, it's a bit selfish, but in this case, we'll overlook it. And say what you will about global warming, it's still a more apt turn of phrase to say global weirding, because some things on planet Earth are way different than you'd expect. Take, for example, the great whale female. Seems these multi-ton fatties have shown up a bit lean during the pregnancy's past, and that never is a good thing for an expectant mom. Fatter moms do better babies make, or at least that's the way it is with whales and most wild mammals. Well, whale moms are beginning to find more food due to the earlier melting of the ice sheet in the Arctic seas, and that makes for more blubber and ultimately healthier babies when they birth in the Baja. So be prepared for some interesting surprises as global warming goes weird in the years ahead. And that's the news. There's a great show about to birth right before your ears, so let the show begin. The Wildside News has been busy for 2.5 years here trying to bring information to the public in a mainstream media format, and it's been an exciting journey so far. But I am absolutely thrilled about an announcement I read about just recently that is coming from the Sundance Channel about a mainstream TV cable network that is going to really focus on green. And to talk about that now is Laura Michael Chishin, who is the Executive Vice President of Programming and Marketing for the Sundance Channel. She's joining us now from New York. Laura, welcome to the Wildside News.
Thank you very much, Sydney. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, I have to get the first question out for my listeners, and that, of course, is what's it like working with one of the world's most committed environmentalists?
It's inspiring, I have to say, working with Robert Redford. And, I mean, part of this whole initiative of a green block on Sundance Channel came from the many decades of dedication and work in the field of, you know, environmental activism that Robert Redford had dedicated his life to. So for us, for Sundance Channel to embark upon this programming initiative, which we see as long-term and permanent, was a natural, truthfully. And for him, it is actually the manifestation of something he's, I think, been hoping that we could do on the channel for a number of years. And if you watch Sundance Channel, I think generally in terms of the embracement of the concept of environmental activism, caring about the globe and the world, and, you know, issues around global warming have always been part of who we are in terms of our program offering. But now this dedicated block, I think, is going to, what we hope, is amass information, provide some amazing context, and hopefully be also aspirational for how we can all, in our small individual lives, make some change to positively affect what we see as, you know, the hundreds and hundreds of years of global denigration.
Absolutely right. But Sundance Channel is a unique format. Who do you see as your audience? Because it's a unique form of programming, and I think in the process of defining who that audience is, we really talk about the people who are going to have to lead the way to make a difference.
Exactly, Sydney. And what we actually say, we say our audience are thought leaders and creatives. Our audience tend to be people who are interested in an alternative on television. People who are looking for something different come to Sundance Channel. People who want alternative viewpoints. And, you know, we hope that we embody all of the importance of freedom of expression, freedom of speech, debate, dialogue. So if you watch Sundance Channel, I typically would characterize our viewers as, you know, people who care and are interested, not just in what's happening in the U.S., but also internationally. We run documentaries that are political in nature, environmental, obviously, but also social, cultural, arts-related, and just, you know, in terms of sort of trends in current society. We have a lot of documentary programming that we feel just reflects what's going on in day-to-day life. And you know, the green block, which we hope also doesn't just, you know, embody that which has become of a concern now, but also will become for us part of a larger community, whether it's online, because we're going to develop and create a really robust website through user-generated content, or what we provide on the linear channels, we call it, you know, the television channel as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they've heard the term a couple of times here, but we really haven't defined exactly what Sundance Channel Green is. So let's give us an overview. What are people going to find somewhere down the road here relatively soon when they turn on the Sundance Channel? What are we looking forward to?
So early next year in 2007, Sundance Channel Green will be a block of dedicated programming, probably 2.5 to 3 hours every week. We haven't determined what day of the week nor time, but I have the full intention of making it a primetime block, Plus, we'll repeat it, you know, and the programming that's within it throughout the week. But the block really is going to be factual documentary programming. We are going to what we call commission a new series, which will likely start as a 13-part, half-hour series. It's all about people, concepts, places, ideologies, and some of the movements that have already taken place in the area of environmental change. You know, who are some of the activists? Who are people that are, whether it's on the east, the west coast, and the center of the country, who are people? Who are these people, and what are they doing? So we almost make them little, you know, documentaries about people who are making a difference. We're also going to work on having what we call interstitial series, which are shorts. And we're working, you know, we're owned by NBC, Universal, CBS, and Robert Redford. So we have some incredible relationships with our parents, if you will. And we want to provide some news and updated information that will come in the short form, you know, 2-3 minute pieces. Probably work on 4 or 5 different interstitial concepts for that block. And then the third component is going to be what we call a documentary acquisition. So it will be either a 60 or a 90 minute, we call them, you know, feature docs, that look at the issues. So some examples this year, I mean, you know, Al Gore's An Inconvenient Truth may show up on the schedule, or Who Killed the Electric Car? You know, there's a number of titles that have already been in the marketplace and are actually doing very well as theatrical films unto themselves. You know, people are already flocking to theaters and cinemas to see them. We want to bring those to the channel so that if you've missed them in your local theater, you know, community cinema, you'll get a chance to see them on the channel.
That is so great, because this is the thing that's not in the mainstream media. These really hard-hitting, direct, honest, truthful, forthright portrayals of what the world is about, we absolutely have to have them. And thank God for Robert Redford, who, again, is a leader. He's showing his leadership by taking on this challenge, because starting a new venture like this costs a lot of money. It takes a tremendous amount of commitment. And you've already stated that you're in this for the long haul.
Absolutely. It's not going away.
Yeah,
you know, and what our goal is to actually hopefully be part of the solution. I want the block to also inspire and be aspirational in terms of people watching the programming, you know, feeling like it isn't all apocalyptic. There are people who are making a difference. We're working with people who, when we sent the announcement and press release out last week, you know, I have to say the response just from the general public, as well as activists, environmentalists, and people who are probably in areas of design, architecture, you know, even fashion. We've had interesting feedback, people saying, about time, as you are, Sydney,
yes.
But also a reaction of there are things we can do. And it's also about knowing where and how to get the information. So I think having a dedicated block is also going to be beneficial, because we hope to be the, you know, the collator of information and be able to push it out to the general public.
Well, you know, I've been doing this side of things for a couple of years here, and the thing that I know, and it actually is somewhat frustrating in one respect, is the fact that there are so many people doing so many terrific things in small towns and communities and cities and literally all around the world, that all the things are being done. There are communities that are organizing. There are people doing miraculous things at all levels. There's awareness about our animals and our communities of animals that it's out there, but it has never had a means to have a mainstream messaging source, a means to really take all that information and put it in one place where when people want to find this out, they know where to go.
It's true.
And no one could have done this any better than Robert Redford, because he brings many, many years of professional credibility. Thank God he's been an honorable man all of his life, because we can take that to the bank. Obviously, there's been some sort of change. In order for you to make this level of commitment, something has to be happening in the larger kind of mainstream world out there, where you know, because you're not going to make this commitment unless you know you're going to succeed, that this is going to work. What's the change? What's happening? What's happening with the leaders in the industry, the entertainment industry, and others?
That's a good question. I think, well, truthfully, the issue of environmental sustainability has grown in appeal because of, I think, a vast need, you know. And it's no longer an issue that I think it can be sidelined as marginal or inconsequential. It's affecting everyone today. And if you see An Inconvenient Truth and you see photographs of 10 years ago, you know, certain polar ice caps that had, you know, 50 extra feet of ice and maybe 100 feet of stream, and it's disappeared. I think what's happening is it's becoming more relevant and more present, and it's actually happening in our lifetime. I think it was one thing when people said hundreds of years ago there were these glaciers, and at this stage now we're talking in decades. So I think the change that we're seeing is that it's truthfully, it's not just good business, it's mandatory business. So whether it's corporations, you know, environmental groups, educators, and people, as you say, in the media, film, television, industry, realize that this is like breathing, you know.
Yes.
It's truthfully affecting just day-to-day life. It's the earth, it's water, it's the air. And I think we have a very powerful means of delivering a message through film and television. And I think, truthfully, films that are doing successful, having successful runs in the theater, like, you know, Who Killed the Electric Car, are actually proving to business leaders in our community that people want to see these stories and will actually pay to see them and then walk out of the movie theater and, you know, they don't shut off at that point. I know many people who've seen these documentaries and walk out and say, okay, how can I contribute? What can I do? How can I make changes? You know, is it within my home? Is it something as simple as changing my light bulbs and getting rid of, you know, all the fluorescents? Just very simple day-to-day activity that we can all engage in that makes a difference. So I think it's smart business, but it's also mandatory business. You know, and to your point, what's interesting is the response from the corporate and business community has been very positive. And we hope to work with a number of leaders in the field of whether it's, you know, banking, financial services, automobile manufacturers, you name it. We want to work with people who actually are making some significant difference and maybe engaging in the dialogue, whether it's through design, you know, building, or just even simplifying and making manufacturing cleaner, healthier, and less of an emission polluter. These are the kind of companies that we want to work with, because it's impossible to exist without corporations. You have to. It's who we are. It's how this, you know, country is set up. But what we hope is that we find like-minded partners. And the response so far, I mean, I can't confirm anything, but the response so far has been very positive and very actually collaborative in their interest.
I like to think of this as a mainstream alternative media. Some people think of it as alternative. It isn't, truly. It's a mainstream alternative. I think Americans are hungry for reality. Reality meaning it can be fun, it can be exciting, it can be there can be fantasy involved and romance and things, but based on things that make sense and lead to a sustainable world. Globalization can be a very positive thing if we can learn to get along. And so creating visions of that so that people have something to refer to in a hopeful way is exciting. In terms of content, have you done a survey? I'm sure you have. But to what degree is the content there, and to what degree are you going to be reaching out to collect and let's say collect content first, and I'd like to also have you discuss some of the creative aspects in terms of some of your larger projects.
Sure. That's a very good question. You know what, internationally we found that there are films, documentaries being made on the subject, whether it's dealing with, you know, the oil and the energy, you know, issue, or emission control, or global warming. There are documentaries and films that we are finding. Some of them are being made by, you know, channels such as the BBC or Channel 4 in the UK or ABC in Australia or CBC in Canada. You know, there are films and documentaries. So we're going to actively solicit and hopefully acquire as many as we can, put them on the air. Plus, they give an international global perspective on how people all over the world are dealing with these,
yes,
these
right.
issues and challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in terms of original content, the other, I think, very significant part, and this is to your point, that there's definitely not just, you know, and it's to his credit, as you said, Robert Redford's sort of dedication in terms of energy. It takes money to do this kind of programming. So we are going to be spending some resources on commissioning, again, working with producers across the U.S. who are either working in this area or are interested in producing television programming. So we've had what we call a call for submissions and worked with a number of media outlets to get the word out, you know, through our press release. And what's happened is we've had feedback now from people who are, you know, film and television producers who are pitching us on ideas, which
yeah.
is that you never know until you start getting that kind of feedback how people are going to react and what the ideas are. And I have to say they range, they're brilliant. Many of them are absolutely innovative, you know, ranging from technology and design to simple, you know, community activism, as you mentioned. And I think what you're going to find is when we commission a series, which is, you know, what I described as sort of the change agent concept, it's going to be completely original. And I want to be able to present the American public with programming that's also entertaining. It's important that it not just be doomsaying in its message, because television is a medium that, unfortunately, people have dials and can click on and off in 1 minute. So we really truly want to make it something that people will come back to each week that will be fresh, original, exclusive, never before seen, and from a very different point of view. You know, we have strong producers, you know, and I don't know if you watch the channel, but we do a lot of documentary series. We just launched a series called House of Boateng. In a month, we're launching a series called The Hill with Congressman Robert Wexler and his staffers. We have a series called One Punk Under God launching in December, which is a documentary series looking at Jay Baker, who's, you know, the son of Tammy and Tammy Faye and Jim Baker. And he has his own really interesting new version of, as he calls it, an alternative to religion called Revolution. He's a punk rock activist. So the channel's always, I think, been proudly presenting strong informational documentary programming that comes from a place of investigation, curiosity, and intrigue. We also, during the month of September for 9/11 and the 5-year, you know, memorial tribute, we've commissioned a documentary that really is, I think, going to be, it's going to be very, I think, profound in its effect, because it's a documentary, it's called Dust to Dust, The Health Effects of 9/11, and it's taking a look at all the early responders, all the medical, police, you know, fire personnel who were early responders, who were at the site immediately following, you know, the crash of the planes, and how now 5 years later, these people who really are heroes, living heroes, have now been suffering immense problems as a result of the pollution and, you know, hazards of some of the waste that came out of the, you know, out of that horrible tragedy. And so we're showing this doc where it's talking about, okay, now how do we deal with this? This is an environmental disaster, truly, as well. You know, it has affected thousands of people who live, work, and were there early. So this is the kind of programming on Sundance Channel you can expect to see. It has strong content, and it's often, you know, programming that, as you say, is truth-telling. That's what we're looking for.
Well, the illusion is fading away, and people are beginning to see through the dust clouds now, and hoping for a clearer vision of our future. Unfortunately, my cable service, I have a kind of basic cable service. I don't get Sundance, and it's a big hole in my lineup. But that also brings up another aspect of this, because there's many people who don't have access to cable and satellite. You're also backing up the Sundance Channel Green with online content that sounds like it's going to be very exciting, and will make it available for people to access various aspects of this programming, even though they can't get it through their cable and satellite networks.
It's true. It's going to be housed on the SundanceChannel.com site, which is our site, and we're going to build, we're calling, you know, it's an eco-munity, a community of people who are very active and interested and generating their own content, because I think it has to be, you know, to be vibrant and relevant, you want people to be involved, engaged, and participating. We also want to be a place where people can get information. You know, if you have a question about where can I, you know, if I have hazardous waste in my house, where can we go to our local community drop-off center and dispose of this kind of, you know, whether it's paint or, you know, toxins from the house. We want to be able to provide really current and relevant and simple but accurate information. So that's what the web will provide, and you are right. I mean, I hope to make it a reflection of what's on the channel, so that there will actually be programming content, excerpts from our shows, clips, you know, we call them interstitials, shorts, etc., that will actually either augment or reflect both, you know, that which is on the channel and then that which we can't put on the channel because there's just so much information. So it will be a very complimentary and standalone site as well.
And you've mentioned the website, but go ahead and repeat it.
SundanceChannel.com is our website. Okay. And we'll probably in the next 3 to 6 months, start what we call teasing and providing some information. It'll take a while for it to be finally up and fully running and operational, but over the next 3 to 6 months, you will find that we start talking about this, you know, putting on announcements as they come up, because the other areas, we're going to engage people both who are activists, environmentalists, and celebrities who are in this field. So over the next 3 or 4 months, you'll find that every month we hope to make an announcement either on a programming basis or on a host basis or with people who are signing up, if you will, to support the initiative.
We're talking with Laura Michael-Chishin, who is the Executive Vice President of Programming and Marketing for the Sundance Channel and is just announcing the Sundance Channel Green. I've got a great big smile on my face, and I'm going to tell you why. You are such, you really have a lot of say about what Sundance Channel does. I mean, if people were to read your resume, they'd be wildly impressed with your extraordinary impact on what they see on the Sundance Channel. But this is what I'm really impressed with, and of course it would come from Sundance. You are such an articulate spokesperson for this message. Your heart is in this, and I'm totally thrilled with that. I'm just impressed with that.
Very kind of you, Sydney. Thank you. Well, and the whole company is. We are a small company, and I say what we lack in financial resources, we make up in heart, energy, and soul.
Bingo. That's what we need right now. And you're going to empower that in a mainstream way. And that's what we need. We need to bring all this heart and soul into the mainstream, and you're well on your way to do so. Laura Michael-Chishin, thanks so much for adding your voice here on the Wild Side News.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you for speaking with me, Sydney. Take care.
The world is changing, and from what I see, we have the chance, if we take it, run with it, and never let it go, to start on a path to a better world, if only we start right now. Actually, we're on our way, and we continue the journey when your voice of the earth continues, here on the Wild Side News.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Then dying coral reefs pushed us, hard. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.